Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. Finish your apple. This is welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm one of your hosts sliding through the mail slot in your front door. Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with
Dave Binkley, wondering how Gail Kay knew I had an apple sitting on my desk here from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. That was quite psychic of you, Dale.
No. It's like that actor. Every time I see him, he has a damn apple. What is his name? Oh, Jeffrey Rush.
As
Captain Barbossa. One of the main things you see is him eating an apple in the first two movies, I think. He played an actor named Stephen Price in the remake of House on Haunted Hill. And he was eating an apple in that one. He had an apple in Mystery Men as Casanova Frankenstein. I mean, there must be like an inside joke in Hollywood or something. When Jeffrey Rush is out there, give him an apple.
There are certain things that happen in certain movies, but by different directors or different actors, that always seem to get worked in. So that's, if you keep your eye out for them, it makes it kind of fun.
Yep.
Just like Hitchcock appearances in his films, you know?
Yeah. It's like a running inside thing that is cool, and it's like an Easter egg for you to look for. And we've got some radio, a whole lot. Stick around. It's a little extra long show tonight, I think. We're quite sure, in fact. Lots of material about the mail.
2 hours.
Yeah. Yes. It's a two-hour show tonight. Bonus! As we've got CBS Radio Mystery Theater, we've got Suspense, and a few more goodies that we'll announce along the way.
Maybe even a three-minute mystery. You never know.
Yeah. And we may or may not stretch it out to 5 minutes. Depends on my mood, actually. And we know how flighty I can be. But that's neither here nor there. Great radio tonight. Why does that title of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater program we have sound so familiar? The Poisoned Pen.
The Poisoned Pen. I don't know. A lot of times a poison pen is a term that people use for somebody writing hate mail, that kind of a thing.
Right.
This is a little different kind of letter that this poison pen is writing.
Ah.
So
we'll get to
that that's all I'm going
to
tell you on here. I will not be a spoiler. I will not be a spoiler.
Okay. I just wondered if it was taken from like any kind of famous literature or anything, the poison pen.
No, this story was not.
Okay.
This was not.
Hey,
but,
anybody would know. Dave would know. No, seriously, you know your radio history.
But this is about a type of letter, and usually a poison pen is usually a hate or a threatening letter of some type. Different kind of letter, but a different kind of result from it also. So
yeah.
It'd be fun to see what all goes on here.
And we'll start out with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, but our second program also has a title that's kind of an archaic term about letters, but we'll discuss that when we get there.
Yep. Yeah, Suspense two nights in a row.
Yeah. Double the suspense this weekend as we
and I want to tell you, of the three stories last night, that was my favorite one. I just was, like Gar said, it was dark, but all the stories were dark. But this one was just an ending I just truly, truly didn't expect. And that's why I like it so much. It led me in a direction, it led you in a direction, and then it took a sharp turn. And it was a personal turn for him. I just thought that was really such a good way to tell a story, you know?
Yeah, I think those are some of the best, because sometimes some stories can be somewhat predictable or at least formulaic, but when these sneak up on you, like a good Twilight Zone, it's far more enjoyable.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this isn't really. Oh, maybe it will. Oh, you know, we're not. Like I said, I'm not going to say anymore. I really don't want to spoil the story. It's not the most complicated story in the world, but it's a good story. It's one of those stories that we had on cassette, and so since for a long time, I could only hear the ones I had on cassette, so they got played over and over and over and over again. And this one was a pretty good recording in my library, and so but this is one of them. This is why it came to mind when I thought of doing ones about letters. So.
And the Poison Pen from CBS Radio Mystery Theater is from
July 22nd, 1975.
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, inviting you to join my class in mental calisthenics, where we exercise the most mysterious muscle in the human body, the imagination. Enough, said the poet, is as good as a feast. But what is enough? Mr. Webster tells us it means sufficient. But what does sufficient mean? That's right. It means enough. So we go round and round. And because it's so hard to agree on what constitutes enough of anything, we find that we have more than enough of murder.
How did you kill those men?
Magic.
Magic. Okay, I can wait for you to tell the truth.
I wrote them each a letter.
And the letters killed them.
They read the letter, and it killed them dead.
That's impossible.
Why do you say it's impossible?
Because words on paper alone can't kill anybody.
That isn't so, Sergeant. Didn't you ever hear the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword?
Our mystery drama, The Poisoned Pen, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Roberta Maxwell and Michael Tolan. Every year, New York is inundated by a bright wave of eager, anxious, would-be stars. Girls so young, so fresh, so beautiful, they can break your heart. They come here to sing, to dance, to act. In short, to make it big in the big time. And like the waves that roll up on the beaches, they soon recede and disappear and are gone without a trace. Are they good enough? There's that word enough again. In most cases, the answer is no. But it doesn't matter. So great a multitude clamors for a place in the spotlight, and yet there is only room for so tiny a handful. Let us concern ourselves with a theatrical agent named Barney Hogarth.
What's that, Fred? You didn't get your check. It's impossible. I put it in the mail last night. Don't yell at me. Your argument's with the U.S. government. Freddie, pal, I swear to you, it's in the mail and it ain't gonna bounce. Hey, Proudfoot, come in here.
You sent for me, Mr. Hogarth?
How many times do I have to tell you? When Fred Sinclair calls, I'm out.
Now, please, Mr. Hogarth, you're shouting at me again. And it makes me so nervous. I really become ill.
Is there any mail?
I can't do my work.
Did the mail come?
Mail? Oh, well, no. Let me get my thoughts together.
What's that in your hand?
Yes, it's the mail.
That one letter? It must be some actor looking for work. What do they want from me, these people? Go on, read it. Well, what are you standing for like a dummy?
Now, I can only do one thing at a time, Mr. Hogarth. I came in here to ask you something.
Yeah?
Well, I haven't been paid in a month.
We'll talk about it after lunch.
Now, Mr. Hogarth, you
give me a hard time and we won't talk about it at all.
Read me
the letter, huh?
Yes, sir.
Don't these actresses know letters don't mean a thing?
No, dear Mr. Hogarth, 6 months ago, a young lady approached a gentleman on the street. She was starving. She was desperate. She needed money for her lodging. She said to the gentleman, sir, I will do anything for $50.
What is this, a gang?
But this gentleman looked at her with deep compassion, and he said, poor child, take the money and bless you. It's a crazy world. I, that girl, have come into a considerable inheritance. I'm wealthy. I wish to prove the biblical adage, cast your bread upon the waters. I wish to reward your generosity 1,000-fold. I have tried to find you. I believe you to be a Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Hey, tear that thing up.
Now, if you are the man, please tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience, signed Forever in Your Debt. And, that's what it says.
That's what it says, huh?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hogarth.
And, what's the address on the envelope where I'm supposed to answer?
Well, it's just a post office box number. Mr.
Both eager, anxious, would-be stars. Girls so young, so fresh, so beautiful, they can break your heart.
I knew it. I knew that beneath your very tough exterior, you had a heart of gold.
Do you remember like it was yesterday? This little chick comes up to me. Wait, where's a piece of paper? Let me write this down. Dear little girl, yes, I am that Barney Hogarth, signed Barney Hogarth. Now, here, put that in the envelope. Yeah. Yeah, I heard her proposition. And would you believe it? I began to cry. Poor kid. I gave her the $50. I would have given her more, but I didn't have it, so go figure.
No, Mr. Hogarth, you are a saint.
Oh, seal it and send it. And remember, my boy, why we are put here in this world to begin with.
Yes, sir.
We are placed here to do good to one another.
Yes, sir, I'll remember that.
And if I cannot help an unfortunate brother or starving sister, of what use can I possibly...
Mr. Hogarth.
Well, don't interrupt me.
No, Mr. Hogarth.
What's the matter? What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I can't breathe. It's hot in here.
What's the matter?
The room is
being
dense.
What, are you sick or something?
I'm so dizzy. The room is dancing. I can't breathe. Mr. Hogarth, help me.
Proudfoot. Proudfoot. Come on, kid. Proudfoot.
What was his full name?
Sebastian Proudfoot.
What did he do here?
He ran the office for me. Is something the matter, Sergeant?
Where was he from?
I don't know. Somewhere in Texas, maybe.
Did he have any enemies?
Maybe Oklahoma, one of them places out west. Enemies? How should I know?
He worked for you for 3 years. You ought to know something.
What do you know about young kids today, especially in this business? They're all crazy. Who can keep track of what they do?
You can't tell me anything about his private life?
Listen, what is all this? I thought he died of a heart attack.
He did.
Then what are the cops buzzing around for?
The heart attack was brought on by a poison. He was murdered.
But you're kidding. I mean, who'd want to murder him?
Had he been acting strangely?
Well, who knows what would be strange for him?
He died in your office.
Like that? Out of a clear blue sky for no reason.
Okay. That's all for now.
He was a very nice boy. Why should anybody want to kill him?
I wish to reward your generosity 1,000-fold. I have tried to find you, and I believe you to be a Mr. Joseph Carraway. If you are the man, tell me so. And I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped self-addressed envelope. If I'm that man. Well.
Joseph?
Hmm? Oh, Oh, yes, my dear.
I know you're quite busy.
Oh, no, please come in.
I was afraid I might interrupt the muse.
No, no danger of that. She's abandoned me this morning, I fear.
Oh, and the first draft was coming along so nicely, too.
Where are you going?
Well, I thought I'd drive downtown. Is there anything you'd like me to pick up?
No, I don't think so, my dear.
Well, I could mail the letter for you.
Letter?
One you just sealed.
Oh, this letter.
And does it need a stamp?
No. It's all ready for posting. And thank you, my dear.
It's addressed to a box number.
Oh, it's just an inquiry, my darling. A literary inquiry.
Well, I shall return in time for tea. And you must promise not to work too hard.
I promise.
There's no great rush. You still have 3 months to finish the first draft.
Yes. Yes, I suppose I... suppose I'd,
I don't like your color. You're so pale.
It seems to be so hot in here.
Hot? Why, the room is freezing.
I can't breathe.
Darling, what's wrong?
The room is starting to...
No. Don't try to stand up.
I can't breathe. The room is dense.
Joseph.
I believe you to be a Mr. Frank Clancy. If you are the man, tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope. Honey, you're on.
Selena!
Oh,
good morning, Mama.
Didn't you get into bad habits in New York? Sleep until 9:30 in the morning?
Mama, everybody in New York sleeps till noon.
Is that a fact? Well, I brought you your breakfast.
Oh, thank you, Mama.
Well, I have to fatten you up a bit. You got so skinny while you were away.
You keep spoiling me like this, and I never will want to go back to New York to resume my career.
How is your career coming along, Selena?
That's my problem. I can't decide which career. Should I write plays, or act, or sing, or dance? That's why I came home, to do some thinking.
Well, you don't want to think so much. You just concentrate on your breakfast. Oh, I also brought you the New York paper.
Oh, what's in it?
What's always in a New York paper? Murder. Seems like they got a whole string of murders.
No.
Someone is running around poisoning people.
Really?
There's a Mr. Frank Clancy.
Frank Clancy? Why, he owns the Rendezvous. It's the biggest nightclub in the city.
Not anymore. Somebody fixed his wagon.
That's awful.
Then according to the paper, you got a Mr. Joseph Carraway.
Joseph Carraway? Why, he's only one of the leading playwrights in New York.
Well, I'm sure the worms will be thrilled to hear it. Someone poisoned him.
That is terrible.
And you got another one. Mr. Sebastian Proudfoot.
Who?
Well, he's rather a peculiar name, Sebastian Proudfoot.
Sebastian? No. He shouldn't have been poisoned.
Well, honey, if you get right down to it, nobody should be poisoned.
But he wasn't supposed to.
What do you mean he wasn't supposed to?
He's a very young fellow. He was a very young fellow. And it's a shame.
Well, how would you know?
Mama, I knew all those people. After all, when you pursue a career in New York, those are the people you meet.
These people were all friends of yours?
Of course. They were all friends of mine. I just don't understand about Sebastian Proudfoot. You see, he worked for Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Barney Hogarth?
It seems to be so hot in here.
Hot?
In New York. And he's the one I meant to...
Well, you meant to what?
Nothing, Mama. You know me. I always talk to myself.
That's because you have money in the bank.
It was like poor Mr. Joseph Carraway said to me before he died. Always go back to where you came from and renew your roots.
Oh, well, we got plenty of roots that needs digging up in the South Pasture. See you later, honey.
Yes, Mama. Oh, Sebastian. Oh, poor Sebastian. I never meant to kill Sebastian. It was Barney Hogarth that I wanted to. How did I ever manage to kill Sebastian? How?
That's an interesting enough question to leave you with for now. Here is a young lady who has already dispatched three people and may yet go for number four. How did she do it? Oh, you should know that already. Oh, yes. I've been playing scrupulously fair with you. All the clues were right out in the open. Think about it. And I shall return in just a few moments with Act Two.
And we'll turn you back over to E.G. Marshall in just a little bit.
True.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to shave with a sword?
Yeah. Well, you know, they said the pen was mightier than the... I meant with the pen, yeah, because they said the pen is mightier than the sword. So I was going to shave with a pen. Yeah.
Okay.
See how that works out. I'll see how that works out.
Yeah. You know, the sword might not work out so good either.
No, it's a little heavy. It's a little heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't lose your head over it. But we've gotten through part one of CBS Radio Mystery Theater as usual. A good tale.
Boy, it didn't take long to have three murders right off the bat there, did it?
No, they're not playing around. They're going right for the killing.
Right for the throat, yes. Interesting.
There's something suspenseful about mail anyway, you know? Like, whether it's good mail or bad mail, like, if you ordered something, you can't wait for it, that's suspenseful. But at the same time, a summons.
Yeah.
Maybe not the kind of suspense you want, but...
Well, it says, you have been selected for jury duty.
Yes. Or, a couple decades ago, greetings.
Greetings.
Followed shortly by your draft notice, if you're not familiar with the old greetings letter.
Yep. Greetings, we found you.
Yes. You're coming with us. You're going over there.
So, yeah, I'm trying to, and then, trying to think of classic mailmen. You had Mr. Beasley, who was the mailman on Dagwood and Blondie. You had the happy mailman on who was Mel Blanc on Burns and Allen. I'm trying to think who else had the mailman persona going on there.
Oh, let's see. Anybody else have a regular mailman?
Probably.
A doorman, but not a mailman.
Doorman. I'm Carlton the doorman.
Yep. That's
he
what I was thinking
a lot
of.
Like Garfield. Yeah. He sounded a lot like Garfield. Yeah.
I think it was the same guy.
It was the same guy. Lorenzo Music. The late, great Lorenzo Music, yes. And he was also a writer for the Smothers Brothers, by the way.
Oh, no kidding.
The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't had that job for a while.
No, not for a while. None of them have.
I would vote for Pat Paulson if he ran right now.
Oh, my goodness. I would vote for him any year.
Yeah.
But the problem is he made too much sense so he can never get elected.
Yes. Oh, he was hysterical. There's still footage. You can find it on YouTube, gang, of Pat Paulson and his campaign trail. It was hilarious.
Yes. And I have an album somewhere, a whole album of Pat Paulson for President that they made out of it. Even interviews and stuff they had. And somebody said, are you right wing or left wing? He says, well, I'm really kind of middle of the bird, you know. Yeah, it was just right off the top of in a quick interview type thing.
And he had such a deadpan. You would almost think that everything he was saying he was serious about, but yet it had an element of absurdity to it.
Yes.
Funny guy. He was a funny guy.
He and Stephen Wright were two of the best deadpan.
Yes.
But I mean, Buster Keaton was a deadpan, but he really wasn't, and he was a comedian and such, but all action and not mixing that in with saying very funny and absurd things.
Yeah. He got a few speaking roles later on, but that wasn't his bread and butter. He did his deadpan in the silent days, but with the combination of the voice and the faces of both of those men, Stephen Wright and Pat Paulson, they're just very definition of deadpan.
Yes, absolutely. And it just, Steve Wright could just say it and keep it so straight, and then just get on the next, not even give you time to savor the thought when he's on to the next one, because he can keep so deadpan.
Yeah.
Not like Rosemarie, whose line was wait for the laugh, you know?
Yeah.
Wait for your laugh.
Different approach, but equally as good. Let's do the everybody has a deadpan expression on radio.
Absolutely.
Part two of CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Poisoned Pen.
Her name is Selena. She's one of those honey blondes with bright blue eyes. There's laughter in her face and innocence in her smile. She's delightfully naive and refreshingly sincere. These are the signals you get from her appearance. Forget it. She's already killed 3 people. But so far, she's the only one who knows that.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Carraway.
Oh, please, Sergeant. Ask me the necessary questions.
First, did your husband know a Sebastian Proudfoot?
Oh, I don't think so.
He worked for an agent, Barney Hogarth.
No, that name isn't familiar either.
How about Frank Clancy?
No. What does all this have to do with...
Your husband and these 2 other men were killed by a poison called Urkurari. It's a unique form of curare in that it can kill by ingestion. It's rare. They don't know much about it. It paralyzes all the motor functions. I'm sorry I had to tell you that.
Oh, it's all right.
Who had a motive for killing your husband, Mrs. Carraway?
In these things, don't you usually suspect the wife, Sergeant Garvey?
Yes. Except in this case, you'd also have to have killed 2 other people.
How could Joseph have been killed?
We don't know much about that poison. We don't know how it was administered or how long it needs to act.
One moment, he was active, busy, filled with life. And suddenly, he couldn't breathe. The room began to dance, and he was dead.
What was he doing?
Nothing. He just finished writing a letter, and I offered to mail it for him. And he just died.
Enemies. Had he ever harmed anyone?
Harmed?
What I'm asking, Mrs. Carraway, is anyone poorer because of him, unhappy because of him?
I don't think...
Mrs. Carraway, did he ever hurt anyone?
No. I can say in all sincerity, he never hurt anyone.
Well, 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 if it ain't Sergeant Garvey. Have one on the house.
Only if it's lemonade. What are you doing, celebrating?
Now, what should I be celebrating?
You are now sole owner of the rendezvous with Frank Clancy out of the way.
Oh, so it really wasn't a heart attack, huh?
Who killed him?
Well, I didn't. If the joint was making the profit, I might have been tempted, but business today...
Who killed him?
Oh, Sergeant, a million people could have killed him. Popularity contest he could never have won.
Just give me a few prime candidates.
Well, I figure it's a dame.
Why?
Well, because he wasn't a guy who could, ditch a dame gracefully after he was through with her, if you know what I mean.
Let's hear more.
But some guys, Sergeant, when it's over, they know how to make a dame feel like she's not being tossed out. But him. I remember, it was a couple of, maybe 3 weeks ago. I come into the office, there's a dame there. She says to him, I'll kill you, Frank.
She threatened to kill him?
Sure. Yeah, Frank used to lead him on, promise him a job here singing or dancing. He made a good thing out of that. Yeah, the dames had come across, but he never would.
This particular dame, who was she? You know her name?
No.
Could you describe her?
Yeah. Yeah, let me try to remember what she looked like.
You're completely off base, Sergeant. Certainly no woman would have any motive to kill Joseph.
A young woman with blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, there are millions of young women who fit that description.
We have reason to believe that a young woman could have killed Frank Clancy. Now, why would she also have a motive to kill your husband?
I told you, I don't...
Mrs. Carraway, three men are dead. One of them your own husband. Did he have another woman?
How dare you?
It was a question that had to be asked.
If he did have another woman, then shouldn't I be the one to kill him?
That depends.
On what?
On which one of you he chose to keep.
Oh, I was downtown shopping. I called him. He was working at home. I asked him to meet me for dinner. He said he had an appointment with a producer. I decided to dine alone in Aredo's. I was sitting in a booth when I heard a familiar voice in the booth in back of me.
Well, yes, my dear, I did say I would help you with your play.
You said you would collaborate with me.
Well, now, I never actually said that I would collaborate.
You did. You know you did.
But I can't do that. Now, you write nicely. You have talent. Huh? But it's a small talent.
Well, you didn't talk this way before we went away for the weekend.
It was a mistake, Selena. It was a mistake.
Oh, yes. It was a mistake, all right.
Let me give you some money.
Money? If I wanted to sell myself, I...
Well, to be brutally frank, my dear, you were willing to sell yourself for influence, for connections, for a career.
Well, good for you. Now you came up with a Joseph Carraway type line. Now you can ease your conscience.
Look, I was just carried away by your freshness and by your beauty, your youth.
That's a good line, too. Old, but good.
Selena, please, I'll do anything for you, anything within reason.
But we're not going to collaborate on a play.
I figure it's a dame.
Why?
Well, because he wasn't a guy who could, ditch a dame gracefully after he was through with her, if you know what I mean.
Let's hear more.
But some guys, Sergeant, when it's over, they know how to make a dame feel like she's not being tossed out. But him, I remember, yeah, it was a couple of, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Friend, she knows. And that's why you feel you have to get rid of me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No. If she wasn't wise, you'd keep leading me on. Well, don't worry about it.
My darling, I feel...
In a little while, you won't have to worry about it. Anything.
She got up and ran out, and he went after her.
Were you able to see what she looked like?
No.
And her name was Selena?
Yes.
Selena what?
I don't know.
So she ran out and he ran after her. And what happened later?
I don't know.
I mean, between you and your husband?
Nothing.
Isn't that kind of unusual?
No, Sergeant. Many people just accept it. Many people simply cannot make an issue of it. They're frightened. They don't know where it will lead. Besides, I knew it was all over and that it would never happen again.
So, there's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl named Selena.
Sergeant, I told you before, in a diplomatic way, he didn't go out with girls.
Does the name Selena mean anything to you?
Selena?
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah. There was a dame, Selena.
Then he did go out with her.
No, he didn't go out with her. The fact is, I did.
You?
Well, I didn't go out with her exactly, if you know what I mean. I saw her a couple of times and,
Yes?
Well... I got rid of her.
Why?
Why? Well, that's personal, isn't it?
We're dealing here with what could very well be first-degree murder. Withhold any facts or evidence, and you're an accessory. Would you like any part of that?
No, I'm only too happy to cooperate with the law. It's the duty of every citizen. After all, our government is only as strong
as... About this girl, Selena.
Well, you know how they come in here looking for an agent, and she was... Well, she was different. I mean, she was the same, but she was so fresh, you know, right off the farm, and I... You know the type?
And?
Well, I said, somebody's going to pluck this little blossom sooner or later, so why not you, Bonnie Hogarth?
And you did.
I tell you, I was willing to get very serious. But she made a real terrible scene in a club one night.
How's the part coming, Barney?
The part, great. Listen, honey, where are you living now?
Shouldn't I be meeting the producer?
You see, I was thinking...
Doesn't he want to meet me?
A kid like you, you really need somebody to... You need somebody to watch over you. You know, this can be an awful town for innocent young girls.
If I'm going to play the lead in his new show, I would think...
Selena, honey, you just leave all the thinking to me. Now, ain't I your agent?
The only reason I bring this up is... you told me his name was Roderick Kendall, and the play is called No More Love.
I
read in the paper that Rosemary Stewart has just been signed.
Oh. Well, look, you don't want to believe everything you read in the paper.
You've been lying to me, Barney.
No.
Should I tell you how I know? I called Mr. Kendall. I spoke to him.
You're kidding me. Kendall don't speak to nobody.
Yeah, especially to you. But I called at lunchtime when his girl was out, and he answered the phone himself, and I said, "Sir, my agent Barney Hogarth told me you had agreed to give me the part."
You said that to Roderick Kendall?
And you know what he said? "Who's Barney Hogarth?"
Oh, now, baby, you see, it's a joke.
There never was a part for me.
Look, I read the script, and I thought that you'd be
and
great.
You lied to me.
But I... Okay. But I'm willing to make it up to you. You see, honest, you're just not another girl.
Oh, that's a very original line. I heard it in at least 20 movies.
Oh, honey, I'm willing to get you an apartment. Now, don't that prove something, huh?
But you're not willing to get me in a play.
I can't.
Sure, because you're not big enough.
No. Oh, it's because you're not good enough.
What did you say?
Oh, Selena, there are a million girls like you.
Why didn't you tell me this before, instead of after?
Because I'm no good, and this business is no good, and you go home, do you hear me?
I heard that line before, too. You're going to pay for what you did to me.
But, honey, what did I do to you? Look, you don't kid me. For all those innocent eyes you've been around, you...
You lied to me.
Well, honey... That's showbiz.
And I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. What? Oh, now, come on, don't make me laugh.
You're cheap, shabby, and false.
Selena, you're starting to raise your voice. You're playing the scene all wrong.
I won't be able to look at myself in the mirror again until you're dead.
She said she'd kill you.
That's what she said, Sergeant. And she sure was mad enough.
But if she was angry enough to kill you, why did she kill Sebastian?
Why? The eternal why. Once again, you should know why. All the evidence is already in. Every vital clue that Detective Sergeant Garvey is about to discover is a fact you know already. Well... While all of these trips are free, it's more fun to work your passage. See you in just a few moments when we all embark again for the third act.
And the final act of the Poison Pun.
Still don't know how we did it. You just know who probably done it.
Yep. She's not looking too innocent.
She must be a sweet-looking gal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of the thing that at least the two of the three insinuated is that, you know, she's a good-looking gal, but doesn't quite have the talent it takes to pull it off. What's interesting, I was going through along those lines. I was listening to the producer, Bill Johnstone, or Jack Johnstone, the director of Johnny Dollar. And he was working with Tony Curtis on something. And Tony Curtis was late coming in to the rehearsal. And he says, "Where you been?" He says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I've been working on this movie, Some Like It Hot, and we're working with this. The simple scene we had to take over and over and over again. This dame just couldn't get the line down." And it was Marilyn Monroe that they were talking about. And Jack Johnstone basically said she had the looks, but she really didn't have the talent. But she got through it, didn't she?
I thought she was a genius. Why, I had no idea what a simple gal she was.
I thought she had a couple of good performances. I thought Niagara, she was pretty good in that, but I don't know what it took to get that out of her, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's supposed to be like one of the most iconic comedies of all time. I've never been that crazy about it. And I'm not the biggest fan in the world. One of her early films, she did Room Service with Groucho Marx.
Yes.
I don't know. It just, what can I say?
One of those things.
I don't know. It can be aired over the radio.
Well, on that happy notion, let's move on to the exciting conclusion.
Yeah, we got a lot of radio there.
They made me blush. Yes, we do. Actually, we have quite a bit of radio for you. And the conclusion of The Poison Pen is just some of it as we wrap up CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Her name is Selena. She has killed three men. Whether or not her cause is just is not for us to decide here below. Certainly, her reasons are the oldest reasons in the world. You know what they say about women scorned, women spurned, women betrayed? Believe it. Believe everything you hear. You're aware of what happened to several men who didn't.
That's right, Sergeant. If she was mad at me, why did she kill Sebastian?
You
said that to Roderick Kendall?
And you know, who's Barney Hogarth?
Oh, now, baby, you see, it's a joke.
There never was a part for me.
Look, I read...
Lied to me.
Well, I like I gotta say this, like they were sisters.
Well, at least we now know her full name. Selena what?
Hey, I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't remember?
Well, she come into the office the very first time. She says, "I want to be an actress." And I says, "What's your name, honey?" She says, "Selena," and I can't remember.
Don't you have it written down?
Yeah, well, you see, it was a long jawbreaker of a name. I think it sounded Dutch or Polish or, you know. So I said, "No, that can't be your name. We'll call you..." And you see that calendar on the wall? The Jenkins photographers? Selena Jenkins.
But her real name?
Jenkins kind of fitted her, you know, nice country girl sound.
Uh-huh. Where was she from?
Well, it had to be a small town.
Where?
I never asked her. She said something about Pennsylvania, Ohio, where? Maybe Indiana.
Try to think.
What's the difference? Once you cross the Hudson River, it all looks like Bridgeport anyhow.
So, we have no way of knowing her real name or where she comes from. Now, look, I have to ask you to recall every circumstance surrounding the death of Sebastian, every detail.
Mm-hmm.
You called him into your office. Why?
It had to do with not letting certain calls go through. And he'd also brought in the mail, yeah.
So he placed the mail on your desk and then turned to leave?
No. It was only one letter. He read it to me.
And then he died?
Yeah, just about. Now, the letter needed an answer, so I wrote it. And this is kind of personal. I give it to him to mail, and then as he's gone out, It happened. Just like that.
What's this, Selena? You about to leave?
Yes, Mama. It's high time I was going back to pursue my career.
Well, you could have a very nice career down here, honey. The oldest Franklin boy would marry you in a minute.
I know, Mama.
And he's got the farm and a partnership in the mill. And he's very smart.
That's true, Mama.
Good looking?
Best looking boy in the county, Mama. I'll write you from New York.
Oh, now it's a bad time of year for colds. Do you remember to take some of that bark Grandpa brought home from South America?
Oh, Mama.
You scrape off just a tiny, minute amount, first sign of a sniffle. Not too much, though. They do say it can really lay you low if you go whole hog.
Now, Mama, I know how to use it.
And you remember, in case the people in New York don't know how to fully appreciate your talent, you come right back home, you hear?
Yes, Mama. I hear.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mrs. Carraway.
Can I help in any way, Sergeant?
The girl, Selena, figures prominently in all three deaths. She could have placed the poison somewhere in Mr. Hogarth's office, and poor Sebastian was killed by mistake. I spoke with the late Mr. Clancy's associate, who says the way people come and go at the club, it wouldn't have been difficult for her to get in there.
Are you saying she could have come in here to plant the poison?
Yes.
Well, I hesitate to advise you in your own trade, Sergeant, but isn't that a rather haphazard method?
Yeah. Yeah, it bothers me, too.
It backfired, obviously, in Mr. Hogarth's case and killed that poor Sebastian.
Well, we know they died of poison. Poison has to be administered somehow and somewhere. Look, tell me the exact circumstances surrounding your husband's death.
Well, it was very simple and direct. One moment.
Yes, I know. You came into the room. You said you were going downtown. He was writing a letter.
Well, he had just finished the letter. It was ready to be mailed. I took it from him.
Wait a minute. You took a letter from him to drop in the mail?
Yes.
So did Sebastian. He took a letter from Hogarth. No, but that's no good, because if there's anything to that, you're the one who should be dead.
I beg your pardon?
The letter he gave you, what happened to it?
Well, when he had the attack, I dropped it on the floor of his study, and it should still be there.
Yes, here, right near the desk. You never moved a thing. It's addressed to box number 1234, 34th Street Post Office. May I open it?
Well, of course.
Dear Miss, I am the man, Joseph Carraway. What do you suppose this means?
I don't know.
Is there anything on his desk that could lead us to an answer?
Well, I haven't been able to bring myself to go through his papers.
Could you do it now?
Well, I'll have to eventually. Yes, I'll do it now.
And if there's anything that might be important...
I understand, Sergeant. I understand.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I come running in here when I heard he was lying in there in his chair.
Now, Jerry, think. Was there a letter that was ready to be mailed?
A letter. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Frank Clancy was not a guy who wrote letters. His motto was, never put it in writing.
A letter ready to be mailed?
Yeah, I remember. All sealed with a stamp. Yeah, I even remember it was addressed to a box number.
What happened to the letter?
What happened to the letter? I don't know. I guess it's still on his desk.
You found me. I'm that same Frank Clancy. Barney, there was a letter you addressed to a box number. You'd just written it. You gave it to Sebastian Proudfoot to mail. Where's the letter?
The letter? I mailed it.
You mailed it?
Well, it was a personal thing, you know.
What did the letter say?
Look, this doesn't have anything to do with...
Did it say, I am the same Barney Hogarth?
How do you know?
Okay, Mr. Hogarth. Who did you send the letter to?
I don't know.
Two other men wrote letters identifying themselves to somebody. Now, what kind of hustle was being worked here?
Hustle? Yeah. Hey, yeah, now, you know, now that you lay it out, it does sound like a hustle. But what could she hope to gain by it?
She?
Yeah, if it really is a dame.
Look. Look here, I got a letter in the mail. Hey, read it.
If you are that man, please tell me so. I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience. Sign forever in your debt.
Word for word, that's the letter that Frank Clancy and Barney Hogarth each received.
But what's the purpose of it?
The post office box doesn't even exist.
What does that mean?
It means that whoever sent that letter didn't really care about getting an answer.
Well, then why enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope?
Why? So that...
Sergeant? Sergeant, is something the matter?
Is it possible? Can it be that simple?
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand you, Sergeant.
Mrs. Carraway, you've been of the greatest help. Yes, here, right near the desk. May I open it?
Well, of course.
Dear Miss, you never moved a thing. It's addressed to box number 1234, 34th Street Post Office. I am the man, Joseph Carraway. When do you suppose this...
She'll be back. She has to be back. She missed you. She'll come back and make sure of you.
What do you mean? How will you...
She'll have to do it soon, too. So my advice to you is don't leave the office.
What do you mean, don't leave?
Live here, sleep here. Eat all your meals at a restaurant.
But I can't...
And I'll be here with you. I want to wait for her.
Well, what makes you think that...
I'm your new assistant.
Are you crazy? You couldn't fool anybody. You look exactly like a cop.
I'll just have to do the best I can. But I'm not letting you out of my sight.
Hello.
Well, hello.
Is Mr. Hogarth in?
That depends. Who wants to see him?
Selina Jenkins.
Selina? Won't you sit down, Miss Jenkins?
Thank you.
She's here.
Well, why don't you arrest her?
I have no evidence.
But she wrote all those letters, didn't she?
We can't prove any of it.
But she threatened me. She threatened the other two also.
Threats alone are not proof.
But what are we going to do?
We have to catch her in the act.
But...
But what? That's how the law works. You can't arrest someone before they commit a crime.
But she's already committed 3 murders.
We can't prove those yet. We hope to prove yours.
Mine?
The coffee pot's out near my desk. Now I'm going back out there.
You mean she's alone out there?
Don't worry.
But suppose she has a gun. Did you ever think of that?
She doesn't use guns. She's got this poison thing down pat. It works. Now, I came in here to give her a chance to doctor the coffee.
Oh, I hope you know what you're doing.
If you knew what you were doing originally, I wouldn't have to be here in the first place. Mr. Hogarth is tied up just now, but he asked you to wait.
He's angry with me, I know. I behave foolishly. But I'm truly sorry now.
I know. I'd forgive you.
You're such a flatterer.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Hogarth. Oh, you want those Allied contracts? I'll bring them right in. Oh, well, it's always one thing after another. I better bring him a cup of coffee, too.
Yes, he certainly loves coffee.
He said for you to wait. He wouldn't be long. Well, did she or didn't she? This coffee goes to the lab. If it has poison in it, we've got her.
Maybe she ain't the one.
She's the one. And I'm sorry for her. You just sit here in your office. I'll bring the coffee out again. He didn't want the coffee.
Oh, that's unusual for him. He drinks it all day.
Well, no sense letting coffee go to waste. Would you like a cup?
No. No, thank you.
I might as well drink it myself.
Oh,
What is it?
I think I got something in my eye. Here, look and see.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so clumsy.
That's all right. There's still a little bit left in the cup. And here, what's spilled on the blotter can still be analyzed in the lab.
In the lab?
And you're sure to have some of that poison left in your purse. Well, what do you say?
I'm sorry about Sebastian.
Yeah.
You figured out a very smart way for them to take poison. All you had to do was get a device that would make them answer a letter. Answer a letter by sending back a self-addressed envelope. And they would just lick the flap to seal it. And on the flap, mixed with the paste, was enough of that urcurare to kill them immediately.
It was a clever story. It even took in Mr. Carroway.
But the way it worked out, poor Sebastian sealed Mr. Hogarth's envelope.
I'm willing to be punished for that one.
I'm sorry. I have to place you under arrest.
The others deserved it. Well, I suppose it'll give me time to reflect on my career.
Yes, miss. Plenty of time.
Not as much as you might imagine. There were women on that jury, and her story must have touched a universal chord of sisterhood. Anyway, she'll come out still relatively young and still beautiful. So if she should ask you to help further her career, be discreet and be here, for I shall be back shortly.
If you have not yet prepared your will, please listen carefully. Without a will, the laws of the state and not you will determine who receives your property and in what amounts. Who manages the affairs of your estate? Your choice as guardian of your minor children may never be known. Your loved ones could face unnecessary legal costs and needless court delays. Now, for only $12.95, you can make your own will quickly and safely with the American Will Kit. You'll receive simple, fill-in-the-blank will forms with easy-to-follow directions. The forms were prepared by lawyers to be valid in all 50 states. Order now, and you'll also receive, free of charge, our easy-reading personal protection guide, giving you important tips and special information that can save you money. Now is the time to take advantage of this special mail-order opportunity. To order, call toll-free 1-800-542-1212. Only $12.95 plus shipping. That's 1-800-542-1212. Money back if not satisfied. Call now, 1-800-542-1212.
Crack may be a death sentence to an adult. If you're pregnant, crack may sentence your baby to mental retardation, stunted growth, permanent learning disabilities. Crack babies often do not survive the first 6 months of life. If you're pregnant and use hard drugs, your baby does too.
Mommy, don't.
This is Michelle Lee with the March of Dimes, preventing birth defects.
They sweep into the city armed with hope and illusion. And each year they are forced to retreat, older but infinitely wiser. The race for glory is to the swiftest of the swift. And if a little learning can be a dangerous thing, then just a little talent can be and often is.
And on the flap, mixed with the paste, was enough of that urcurare to kill them immediately.
It was a clever story. It even took in Mr. Carroway.
But the way it worked out, poor Sebastian sealed Mr. Hogarth's envelope.
I'm willing to be punished for that one.
I'm sorry.
He knows I love him, and I'm doing everything I can, like making sure he's healthy. I got this booklet at my food stamp office with all kinds of nutrition tips, like what I should do about snacking and ways I can cut down on too much sugar, fat, and salt. The booklet really helped choose foods for good health and nutrition. That's real important.
In the food stamp program, we know the job of mom isn't easy, but we're here to help. Our free nutrition booklet will help you choose the foods that are best for your kids. We've even included some simple recipes for good, healthy eating. For a free copy, stop by your local food stamp office today. For the love of your kids.
I wish I could give my son more, but we're going to be just fine.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Well, that was a little clippy there. Sorry about the
editing. Yeah,
it was. The recording, yeah, but was... you get the picture of the poison pen.
Yes. And I think there's one thing that we all could probably learn from this.
Yeah, be prepared. That'd be one. I almost was prepared. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
Yes. Apologies to Brother Gar, who's down for the count again today. We've got this. If a defense attorney says, "Does this woman look like a killer?" She probably is.
Yeah, no, that one deserves two. I should get the ethereal, far away version there at the end. There you
yes.
go.
Yes. So, yeah, we're just stamping out these letter shows tonight, and but wait, there's still more.
Oh, good gosh, yes, we've got a little suspense for you tonight.
We do.
And as I was kind of briefly mentioned earlier, the title is another one of those archaic terms you don't hear too often. Crank letter. Oh, I got a crank letter.
Yeah.
And I think that meant just like either a non-serious, like some people didn't take chain letters very serious, so they would refer to that as a crank letter, or maybe a potential extortion letter. As a potential crank letter.
Yeah, it could be, or just could be a prank to be a crank letter. It meant a lot of different things. So we'll have to see what it means in this particular instance.
Yes, it could be a prank. Crank letter, for all we know.
Yeah. You never know until the last minute, especially in a suspense. You never know until the very end what exactly has happened. That was one of the great things about suspense. Escape was wonderful stories. It really wasn't a surprise ending on those, but the suspense did a fair amount of shifting gears at the end. So much like what, you know, your Twilight Zones did and programs like that. It just, they sucker you into a certain point and then they just shift gears and, it's just one of their traits and something they handled so well.
Yes, and let's listen to this little sampling from Suspense called Crank Letter, and it's from?
From February 21st, 1960.
And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in... If you ever received a letter threatening your life, and if you did, what did you do about it? Well, let's find out what Dr. Fraser did as we listen to Crank Letter, written for Suspense by Walter Black. Dr. Fraser speaking.
Hi, Doc. Paul Neiman over to homicide.
Oh, you believe in telepathy, Lieutenant?
Beg pardon?
Well, I was just about to pick up the phone to call you.
Oh, well, I guess the department must have notified you, huh?
Notified me about what?
My yearly physical checkup. Is that what you meant?
No. No, you see, I got a letter, and I wanted to talk to you about it. Could I drop in later today?
Well, sure, if you want, but can't it wait until I come by for my checkup? Save your trip.
Well, I guess it can wait. Let me see. Can you come in at 4 today?
Yes, I can. I'll see you then, Doc.
Yeah,
Oh, Lieutenant.
Yes?
Now, the outer door will be locked. So just call out and I'll let you in.
You can put your shirt back on now, Lieutenant.
Okay. Well, what's the verdict?
Oh, you're sound as a pre-war dollar. Although, if I were you, I'd take off a couple of pounds around the middle.
Well, I keep telling myself I will, but when it comes to my wife's cooking, I got all the willpower of a jellyfish. All right, Doc. Now it's your turn. You mentioned the letter.
Yes. Yes, here. Read it.
You quacks are all alike, murderers. Honest people aren't safe from butchers like you. If the law won't punish you, I will, the Avenger.
Uh-huh.
Well, she went to a lot of trouble, didn't she? Cut out all the letters from a magazine.
She?
Reads like a woman. Could be a man, of course. I suppose you've handled this, haven't you?
Well, you mean fingerprints?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I guess so. I didn't know what it was, of course.
Well, it doesn't matter, Doc. She probably wore gloves. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
You wouldn't worry about it. No, it's not addressed to you.
No. Take it easy. I only meant... Well, we get hundreds of poison pen stuff like this every year. 99% of them turn out to be crank letters.
And the other 1%, Lieutenant, what do they turn out to be?
You know of anyone who might have a grudge against you, Doctor?
No.
There's no reason at all for anyone to hate you, is that right?
Well, there's no rational reason, no.
I said no reason at all.
Well, it isn't really a reason.
Let me be the judge, huh?
Well, all right, it happened last week. I was performing an operation on an elderly patient. In his 70s. No, his heart failed on the table. Mm-hmm. Now, everything possible was done for him, but it wasn't any use. He died. Anyway, it's been on my mind. I feel terrible about it.
Guilty?
No. Why should I feel guilty? It happens sometimes, no reason.
Just asking, Doctor. The man who died, what was his name?
Gilbert. Joseph Gilbert.
Any relatives?
He lived with a son.
Name?
Well, I don't... Oh, wait a minute. I probably have it on his records. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Frederick Gilbert, 210 South Oak Lane.
Uh-huh. Ever meet him?
Yes, once.
What's he like?
Well, he's big and burly. He
what?
Well, it was after his father died. He threatened to hit me. He had to be restrained by some hospital attendants.
Mm-hmm.
You think he wrote this letter?
Nope. I think it's just what I said it was, the crank letter. Beating you up sounds more like his type. I'm pretty sure it'll turn out to be just another crank. Yeah? Excuse me, Lieutenant, but there's a Dr. Donald Fraser outside for the S&C. It's important. Okay, send him in, Evans.
Yes, sir. You can go on in.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I'm sorry to bother you, Lieutenant, but...
It's no bother at all, Doc. What's on your mind?
This.
Came in the morning mail. Well, go on, read it.
All right. Why don't you sit down and relax?
Yeah, relax? I'm too nervous, if you must know.
Well, suit yourself. You killed him. You and I know it, even if nobody else does. Your turn is next.
Well, is that all you can say?
Cheap grade of paper, no signature. You killed him. You think this refers to that patient of yours?
What else can I think? Look, I'm not normally a very excitable person, Lieutenant, but this has got me...
Scared?
Yes, scared. Can you understand that, or... Don't policemen ever get scared?
Sure we do. Often. Send Evans in.
Oh, and what am I supposed to do now? Walk out of here and go about my business? Is that it? I'm scared, Neiman. I'm scared sick. Now, does that penetrate? I want protection, and don't give me any more of this crank letter routine either. This thing is genuine. I can feel it.
I think you're right, Don. Look, why don't you sit down?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow up at you.
It's all right. Forget it. Let's go on in, Evans. This is Dr. Fraser. Don, this Detective Evans.
Oh, hi. How do you do?
Evans, you're off desk duty as of now. Until further notice, you're assigned to the doctor. You'll pick him up every morning when he leaves his apartment. You'll go out on calls with him, accompany him to the hospital. The works, you got it?
Yes, sir.
And every night you take him back home and wait until he locks his door.
Yes, sir. What am I supposed to be looking for, Lieutenant?
Your guess is as good as mine. Just make sure the doctor stays healthy.
Yes, sir. You are taking this seriously, aren't you, Paul?
I am, Donald. Real serious.
In just a moment, we will return for the second act of Suspense.
Here's Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Who feels like acting with a miserable cold? I relieve cold distress the fast way with four-way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains and headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When a cold strikes, do what I do. Take four-way cold tablets. It's the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. To get rid of embarrassing dandruff in 3 minutes, change to Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair, rub in 1 minute, add water, lather 1 minute, then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch and embarrassing dandruff gone. At the same time, Fitch can brighten hair up to 35%. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today.
We was at the hospital from 2:35 to 7:15. Then we went to eat. Went to a movie. Not a bad one either, Lieutenant. The one at the palace. You seen it?
Never mind that.
No, sir. We got back to the apartment at 11:08. I checked it out like always. He locked the door behind me. I picked him up again at 8:10 this morning, and I'd just come from his office.
Office door locked?
Oh, yes, sir. I make sure of that. He says some of his patients complain about it, but he locks it.
Nothing out of the way?
No, sir.
Lieutenant Neiman.
It's Don Frazier, Paul. I got another one.
Another letter? Read it.
You haven't got much more time, murderer. You know how to kill. How well will you die? You've got to do something, Paul.
Now, take it easy. We're doing our best, Doc. This just came in the mail?
No. No, I found it on my desk when I got to the office.
You what? I'll be there in 5 minutes, Doc. Come on, Evans, let's go.
Doctor, now let's see what we've got. Your outer door wasn't tampered with. Neither were the windows or the catches. The building superintendent has been in. The cleaning woman was out sick, so she wasn't even here last night. Now, you're absolutely certain the door was locked when you left last night and locked when you got here this morning.
I was with him, Lieutenant. It was locked, all right.
Uh-huh. And yet there was the letter right on your desk. How did it get there?
Well, Paul, I should have mentioned this before, but I didn't think it was important.
What?
I lost my key ring last month.
You what?
Now, it was only missing 2 days, and then somebody returned it through the mail. It had my name on it.
Now, ain't that just Jim Peachy Dandy?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't think it meant anything.
Evans, call the station. I want that man Gilbert brought in. Let's find out about Gilbert once and for all.
You have to keep that light shining in my eyes.
We don't have to, but we're going to. We like to see who we're talking to, even when they're as ugly as you.
I'd like to get you out from behind that badge, but didn't hear you say that.
Any time at all. All right, Gilbert. Let's go back over that story of yours. You gave my man the slip after he tailed you home last night. Where'd you go?
I told you.
Tell him again.
I went bowling.
You always leave by the back door when you go bowling?
What, do you think I'm a kid or something? I knew you had a tail on me. Am I supposed to write him a letter if I feel like going out?
Why not? You've been writing Dr. Frazier letters.
I ain't writing nobody nothing. How many times do I have to tell you?
Turn off the light.
What?
You heard me. Get that clock out of here. It's making me jumpy.
Yes, sir.
pretty rough about your dad, Gilbert, dying on the operating table like that. Of course, who's to say whose fault it was? Accidents will happen.
But my old man had the constitution of an ox. There was no accident that killed him.
You think Frazier did it on purpose?
If I thought that, Frazier'd be as... You really want to know what I think?
Yeah, I do.
My old man was a clinic patient. No dough. Slap him on the table, cut him open. If he lives, okay. If he dies, too bad.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said, I don't blame you for wanting to get back at Frazier.
Now, who
said... I do. You're our boy, Gilbert. You got the motive and you got the opportunity. We got witnesses who heard you swear to get even with Frazier.
Listen, a guy says lots of things. That don't mean anything.
Tell it to the jury, Gilbert. You only get one chance, Mr. Copper, please.
I never wrote no letters.
Where have you hid the duplicate keys? You'll find them sooner or later anyway. Lieutenant Neiman.
This is my last warning, Lieutenant. Frazier hasn't got much time left.
Who's this?
You're his friend. Tell him to make his peace with God, if he can.
Wait a minute. Comedy, put a trace on this call. You've got anything against Dr. Frazier, why don't you come on in? We'll talk it over.
Give him my message, Lieutenant.
Hello? Hello?
Well, I just don't get it. I was so sure Gilbert was the one.
You're in good company, Doc. We thought so, too. I didn't. I never did. He was just the only pigeon in sight. Doc, tell me, this town you were born in, where you grew up, what's the name of it?
Haydenville.
Maybe the answer's back there.
But I left after high school. I never went back. I told you that.
Yeah, I know, I know. What about your family?
Well, my father's dead. My mother lives with my aunt out in California.
Nobody else? Brothers, sisters, cousins?
Nobody else.
How come you never went back there?
I had no reason to. I'd made new friends in college and later in med school. There weren't any close ties at home.
All right, Don. How about college, medical school?
No. Nothing there either. Not that I was the most popular guy or anything like it, but I've never gone around making enemies.
Well, I wouldn't call our letter writer a bosom pal, exactly.
Hey, Lieutenant, maybe it's a patient. Maybe one of them's kind
now
of
look,
cracked. None of my patients has any reason to wish me harm.
Old man Gilbert conked out on the operating table. Was there anybody else?
I'm not in the habit of either killing or wounding my patients, Evans. Now, you can check my records if you like.
Okay, Doc, just ask. Let's go, Evans. I'll pick you up at the usual time, Doc.
If I'm still around.
Okay, Doc, it's me. Up and at 'em. Hey, Doc, it's me, Evans. Let's get going. I like some breakfast. Doc?
It smells like...
Hey, Doc! It's not locked.
Yeah.
You refresh. Enjoy a frosty, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola.
Sociability, Charlie.
All right, Kay, how's this? Pepsi is light. Refreshes without filling. You like to refresh? Have a Pepsi right now.
We'll offer it to everybody, Charlie.
I will. Enjoy Pepsi at the fountain. It's delicious at home, too. Have one at lunch or with a snack.
Charlie.
At the beach or at dinner. Wherever you go, wherever you're thirsty, Pepsi is there.
It's here, too, in our Be Sociable song. Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair, get in there. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
For the weekend, have plenty of Pepsi around. Pick up an extra carton today. CK, I'm sociable.
With Pepsi... Everyone is.
Drink your Pepsi all the time. In fact, get an IV bag and start running that stuff right in your veins. The bubbles will tickle your arm. It's fun. No, don't do that. Do not do that.
So it does, yep, does not sound like quite the crank letter to me.
No, it sounds like I'm coming to get you.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. And why would the doc leave his door unlocked? I don't know. Strange, strange things going on.
Strange things. Well, let's wrap up the crank letter because we got time for plenty of time, in fact, for some extra bonus features.
After. We got bonus.
Yep, it's all about the mail, gang. We're not mailing it in today. Or are we? Here's part two. Crank letter.
How is he, Lieutenant?
Doctor says he'll live.
Oh, thank heavens for that.
You know something? Frazier must have opened that door himself. Even with duplicate keys, nobody could open it from outside after he shot the bull.
So?
Well, so in a case as crazy as this, it's nice to have one solid fact to sink your teeth into.
Crazy is right. No sign of a struggle, not a mark on him. Yet there he is, stretched out on the couch and every burner on the stove going full blast.
Hey, Lieutenant, I just thought of something. Whoever the guy is, he's someone Frazier knows. You don't open the door in the middle of the night to a stranger. No kidding.
Well, it's something.
It's nothing. Like everything else we got. Go on back to the station, Evans.
But what about you?
I'm going to see Frazier as soon as they let me.
Dr. Frazier. Don. Can you hear me?
What?
It's Neiman.
I am.
You're going to be all right, Don. You hear me? You're going to be all right.
He was lucky this time. He won't be again.
What?
I should have turned the gas on earlier.
Doc, that voice, what are you trying?
Next time I'll use a gun.
It was you on the phone, wasn't it, Doc?
It was me, Lieutenant.
What's going on?
It's very simple. I called you. I wrote the letter. I tried to kill him. And I'll try again, only the next time.
All right. It was you. Who are you?
Donald Frazier.
But Doc... Okay. You're Donald Frazier. Where do you live?
92 Main Street. Haydenville.
Haydenville. Where do you work?
Mulholland's Meat Market. After school and all day Saturday.
School? What grade are you in?
I'm a junior in high school. Why?
Just routine, Donald. You have plans to go to college?
Sure. I'm going to be a doctor.
You mind me asking why you're out to kill him?
Responsible for Jamie's death, so he has to pay for it.
Jamie?
My brother. He was 2 years younger than me.
How did he die?
He drowned. I don't want to talk about it.
I have to know, Donald. How did he die?
He got cramped. He yelled. He could have been saved, only he was too busy swimming to pay any attention. By the time he looked around, it was too late.
And you blame him for that?
Yes. He's got to pay.
Suppose it had been the other way around. Would you blame Jamie? You know how it is when you're swimming. You're having fun. It's easy to forget about the guys with you.
He shouldn't have forgotten.
No, but he didn't forget deliberately, did he?
No.
Will killing him bring Jamie back?
What are you asking me so many questions for?
Will it accomplish anything at all, Donald?
Maybe it'll give me some peace.
Is that what you want most?
Yes.
Killing him will only make you feel worse. You'll be a murderer then. Is that what you want?
No.
You want to be a doctor. That means saving lives, Donald, not taking them. Start with him. Give him back his life. That's the only way for you to find peace.
You believe that?
The Bible says, judge not,
lest ye be judged. I don't think a guy like you could go through life with a secret like that on his conscience.
I just want some peace.
Then try it my way, Don. Forgive him. He suffered more than you'll ever know.
How do you know?
I'm his friend. He's a very decent guy. I wish you could know him as I do.
And what about Jamie?
If he could, I think he'd say the same thing. He doesn't blame him. It was an accident. Try it my way, Don. Will you? Donald?
I'll try.
Good boy. Doc, can you hear me?
No. Hmm? Who is it?
Me, Paul Neiman. How do you feel?
No. Well, as Evans would say, Jim Peachy Dandy. What happened?
You had an accident. Huh? It's over and done with. You're going to be okay.
I'm... It's funny, Paul, but I feel... I don't know quite how to put it. Like a big... burden's off my back. It's crazy, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Sure it is. Whatever happened to me, I know it was no accident. That letter writer will try again.
No, he won't, Doc. Because, you see, we found him. From now on, I don't think you'll have any more trouble.
To Crank Letter, written for Suspense by Walter Black. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense. Out of tune because of irregularity? Kellogg's All Bran helps put you back in tune. Kellogg's All Bran is the natural way, the good food way to end constipation caused by lack of bulk in your diet. There's only one All Bran, Kellogg's All Bran. Its whole bran content gentles away constipation, supplies your system with the bulk-forming food you need. Kellogg's All Bran is the only whole bran cereal to bring you the combination of proved effectiveness, appetizing taste, and crispness. It never gets mushy in milk. So get back in tune and stay in tune. It's easy with the one and only Kellogg's All Bran. ALL-BRAN. Safe, reliable, pleasant. Millions enjoy it every day. They know they can count on Kellogg's All Bran to relieve irregularity. Heard in tonight's story were Lyle Sudrow as Dr. Donald Fraser, Les Damon as Lieutenant Neiman, Phil Meader as the young Donald Fraser, and Larry Haynes is Fred Gilbert. Listen again next week when we return with Lieutenant Langer's Last Collection by George Bamber. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. On CBS Radio.
The best place to be.
And now we're on Erie House Radio.
Yes, we should. And normally we'd be saying goodnight about 23 seconds ago, but no, you're stuck with us for another half hour of fun.
Yep.
Because we got bonus material for you.
Yes, we do.
Did you have anything for this last one, Dave?
Sort of, but I don't have it worked out. So something about you got to be careful killing yourself. Something about that, but
you could hurt somebody.
You could hurt somebody, mostly yourself. Yes, there you go.
No, not to make light of it, but like suicide is like a one-way street. You want to think it over carefully. Don't make rash decisions.
Yeah, that's true. True.
Non-reversible. But good radio shows and the horrors, the absolute horrors of waiting for things in the mail.
Yeah, and what's worse is in this last one is every time he turned around, he was getting another letter from himself. Like he was busy sitting right down and writing himself a letter. How's that for a cue?
Yeah. Well, we're waiting for our next feature. It's actually coming in the mail, so we'll just wait here.
I got mail. Yay! I got mail. Yay!
Hey, and our next show has arrived. this is a 3-minute mystery that lasts about 5 minutes.
Okay. We're not going to go with what I cued you in with, huh?
No, I missed the whole thing. It went right by me, Dave. It went.
Okay.
So say it again so I don't feel as stupid as I do right now.
I just said, you know, it's just like he spent all that time sitting down and writing himself a letter.
Ah, yes.
Ah.
Sometimes we do feel like writing ourselves a letter.
As you know, a lot of your favorite television shows are taking a well-deserved summer vacation. You know, there's one fellow in particular that I sure miss. And if he was on, I've got a hunch we'd be hearing one of this summer's biggest hits sung something like this.
Letters, we get letters. We get stacks and stacks of letters. Dear Perry, would you be so kind to fill a request and sing the song we like best? I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter. I'm gonna write words all so sweet. They're gonna knock me off. A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad I got them.
And that was one of the Spike Jonze where it's more visual. But Freddie, good old Freddie Morgan, kept trying to butt in there to say something. And every time he would, he would get knocked out, or the guy would shout from behind, or something like that. Very funny. You can catch it up on YouTube as well. But there's a clever little a play on Perry Como, as well as on the Write Myself a Letter.
That's right. And always fun with Spike Jonze. We'll hear more of him in just 2 weeks. We're going to do our all music show. It's our 500th show. Tonight's 496. So, yeah, 500th show on May 1st. It'll be an all music show, just like we did on Halloween. Only
talk
World
about
War
a Mayday.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about a Mayday.
Mayday, Mayday.
Mayday, Mayday.
Run for your lives.
All right, now we got time for that 3-minute mystery there.
We got time for a 5-minute mystery.
Oh, okay. We can do it that way, if you wish.
Yep.
If you really want to.
This is about a postman who didn't ring? What?
Another 5-minute mystery.
Sometimes, Jed, I wish I'd never taken this job as sheriff.
I know what you mean.
Take today, Memorial Day. Everybody else is sitting around their house taking things easy-like.
Or else out boating or having a picnic.
That's right, enjoying themselves. But us, we're sitting around a stuffy old office.
Yep, waiting for something to happen, like vultures. I could think of a lot pleasanter things I'd rather be...
I'll get it. Probably my wife. Green County Sheriff's Office. Who? Tom Edson's farm. Shot? Tom Edson shot by your wife? We'll be right out.
As you can see, Sheriff, my wife Edith is hysterical. She's in no condition to answer questions.
I didn't kill Dad. I didn't. You know I didn't, Ronald.
Jed.
Yep, Sheriff.
As soon as you finish that sketch and notes on the position of the body, you better call Doc Ferris.
That's a good idea. Edith should be placed under a doctor's care immediately. She's been building up to this collapse for some time.
You must believe me. I didn't kill Dad. I wasn't even in the house.
You weren't in the house?
No. I was in the stables talking to the horses when I heard the shots and ran back to the house.
Edith, darling, you know you were in the room kneeling by your father when I came into the house, weren't you?
Oh, yes, Ronald.
And you had the gun in your hand, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, Ronald, but I didn't kill Dad.
You see, Sheriff?
Looks bad.
Tom Edson never approved of Edith's marriage to me, Sheriff, and because of that, Edith and I had never been in here during the 10 years we've been married. This is our first visit.
I've called the doc, Sheriff. He'll be right out.
Good.
Oh, another thing, Sheriff. I noticed the automatic, the murder weapon, had a peculiar odor about it.
Did?
Yep. Smells something like powder or perfume.
Mm. It's Edith's gun. He carried it in her purse. You know how things in a woman's purse always smells like their face powder?
Yeah.
Edith and her father had been arguing all morning. Then when I heard the postman blow his whistle, you know how he blows a little whistle on these country routes when he leaves mail? Well, it was a relief to get out of the house. After I walked all the way out that long lane to the mailbox, there wasn't anything there but a couple of bills. While I was walking back, I heard shots and...
Ronald, how can you stand there and so calmly convict your own wife? Sheriff, I didn't kill my father.
I know you didn't, Edith. Now I know that Ronald is the murderer.
On what clues does the sheriff place his accusation that Ronald is the murderer? Do you know? We'll be back in 1 minute with the solution. In the meantime...
Thank you.
now, back to our mystery.
Donald, maybe mail doesn't mean much to you big city folks. You maybe don't pay much attention to its delivery. But we farmers appreciate our mail and know all about deliveries. You couldn't have heard the mailman's whistle and gone out for the mail, Ronald, because today is Memorial Day, a national holiday, and mail isn't delivered on national holidays. However, holiday or not, I'm going to deliver you to the county jail immediately.
But it's a holiday. Mystery in 5 minutes.
Is there anything like the minute waltz taking about 7 minutes?
Something like that. Yeah.
Or take five that lasts about 3.5.
There you go.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's wait for the next thing.
Mailed in.
Oh, thank you, Marticia. Thank you, Sing.
So,
speaking of Adam's family,
yeah.
Felix Villa died.
The gentleman
who played Cousin It.
Cousin It, yes, he did. You're right. It's quite a bit all over the internet, especially around Facebook.
Yeah. Nice fella. Never looked down on anyone.
No!
I'm so sorry. Jesus, like, why am I working with this ass? Because you have a heart of gold, my man. That's why.
Oh, well, we still have some more time left over. Whatever shall we do?
I say more music. I don't think we're going to have time for airmail.
Okay.
Music, you know what we have time for, Dave? If you want to saunter up to the wheel. We haven't done wheel in a long time.
I haven't sauntered for a while, but I do the best I can as I saunter.
What you talking about, Will?
Up to the wheel. I will reach way up to the top and give it a nice, big, strong yank.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Hey, Dean, is your voice changing? I heard your song, and... All right, buddy, the hospital is 2 blocks away.
This boy doesn't need the hospital.
You're right, Dean. Hey, buddy, it's 4 blocks to Forest Lawn.
Hey, Dean, I don't know who this guy is, but I like him. This kid makes me look good, you know.
Frankie, he's my partner, Jerry Lewis. Go over and introduce yourself to him.
Well, all right. You sure he won't bite? Jerry, I'd like to introduce myself.
Let Dean do it, kid. You better lie down.
Now, listen, apehead. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You mean you're Frank Sinatra, the singer on radio and television and picture star?
That's right.
Hey, is it true that you stand in for carrots when they photograph salads?
Well,
when mosquitoes bite you, do they get anything more than practice?
Well, gosh, I don't...
Hey, now, tell us, Drew, can you touch your hands over your head without being threaded?
Hey, now, just a minute. How long do you think I have to stand here for these insults?
Just as long as we get laughs, Frank. Now, Jerry, this is no way to act towards Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, well, what makes you think he's Frank Sinatra anyway? If he was Sinatra, he certainly wouldn't be here with us.
No, where would I be?
Home with Ava.
You know, for an idiot, this kid makes a lot of sense.
I was just kidding, Frankie. We're really very glad you could come tonight, honest. We think we're real lucky to have you as a guest. Yes, sirree. We sure are fortunate to have you as our guest. And I mean it, too. Hey, Dean, Como couldn't come?
Can't you show a little more respect? After all, Frank is one of our most popular singers.
What did you say?
I said Frank is one of our most popular singers.
What did you say?
What's the matter with you? Can't you hear?
Oh, sure. I just like the way you turn green when you say it. Don't be jealous, Bobby.
Dino doesn't have to be jealous. He's got a fine voice.
You're a good boy, Frank.
As a matter of fact, Dean, you sound a little like Crosby.
Oh, I haven't been too well.
Been sick.
No, but you really sing real good too, Frank. I just bought a whole bunch of your records. 82 records for 39 cents. Yeah, they forgot to put the hole in the middle.
You know, one good clop, I could put this kid away.
I didn't know you were that tough, Frank.
Didn't you know I used to be a boxer?
Yeah, and I used to be a cocker spaniel.
Don't mess with me, kid. Where I was raised, you had to be tough.
Same with me. I had to fight all the time.
Me too. All the time. It was nothing but fist, fist, fist.
Really?
Sure, I was 12 years old before I knew I had fingers.
Ah, those childhood memories. You know, I'll never forget them.
Yeah, I remember when I first learned to tie my shoelaces. Seems like only yesterday.
What yesterday? It was this morning.
Hey, you know, fellas, I wonder what it would have been like if the three of us had grown up together. I mean, all part of the same gang in the same neighborhood.
Well, let's roll up our pants legs and find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, although most of us would like to, it's impossible for us to return to those carefree days of our childhood. Tonight, however, through the magic of radio, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Frank Sinatra shall realize this ambition. And so, let's turn back the clock.
My name is Dino. Me and my pal Muscles are the toughest kids on this block.
My name is Muscles. And whoever gave me that name ought to have his head examined.
My name is Jerome. I have my head examined all the time. I'm brand new in this thing, boy. Boy, wait till these fellas see what a load of laughs I am. No kidding. I'm a ton of fun. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, I will speak to them. Hello, fellows.
Shut up.
Goodbye, fellow.
Wait a second. You gotta go home now.
Yeah, I'm a babysitter. I sit on my baby brother.
You sit with the baby, not on him.
So how come they call him Flat Top?
By the way, kid, how did you get that cauliflower ear?
I got it from beer.
You got that ear from drinking beer?
No, Dad uses it to open the bottle.
Let's go, Dino. We only play with the tough guys.
Well, I'm tough. You should have seen me this morning. I kicked Brownie right in the stomach.
Yeah, who's Brownie?
My teddy bear.
Come on, Dino. I tell you, this kid's a sissy.
What makes you think he's a sissy?
He's wearing underwear.
I'll handle him, Muscles. Look, Junior, didn't your mother ever tell you the facts of life?
Oh, but I was eavesdropping when she told him to Dad.
Ah, then you do know what girls are.
Sure, I've seen them at parties. They're the ones that dance backwards.
What are you talking about? You're ugly. Girls wouldn't go for you anyway.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what kind of girls would ever go for you.
You'd be surprised.
Surprised? I'm flabbergasted.
You're a comedian.
No, you're a comedian.
You want to bet?
You know what I want to be? When I grow up, I want to be a sailor.
Yeah? What would you do? What would you do if somebody fell overboard?
I'd throw them a lifesaver.
And what if you didn't have a lifesaver?
I'd throw them a Hershey bar.
Yeah, you can keep all that sailor stuff. I'm going to be a singer.
You want to bet?
Hey, Dean, what do you say we go down to the corner, huh?
Yeah, I want to buy an ice cream cone. See, I got a dime.
I got an idea. Let's go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and we'll see who gets the cone.
Hey, that's a good idea. I like that.
With my dime, why not?
Okay, now here goes. Eeny, meeny, miny. Well, I get the cone.
What happened to Mo?
There ain't no Mo. Well, here's the ice cream.
Go ahead, Dino. You can take the first lick.
Hey, fellows, I say, that's my clone. No, fellas, don't lick it. No, I don't care if you hold it, but don't lick it. I mean, you boys are my friends and everything, but don't lick it.
Okay, you win. It don't pay to argue over a cone anyway.
Yeah, let's be friends from now on.
Sure, when we grow up, we can all look back at the time we were kids and we can say...
So they... loved all those childish games.
Spinning the bottle and kissing games.
I was so sad when school was through. When they threw me out, I felt so blue.
I was voted the boy most likely to.
Most likely to what?
I don't know. The class broke up early.
How we missed those old childhood days.
I broke my yo-yo.
Always good to hear from Lewis and Martin, and we got a little bit of Sinatra thrown in there as well.
All kinds of fun, and yet there's still more time.
What? More bonus, you say, Dave?
More bonus. This is a big bonus night.
It is. I'm going to spin that wheel myself. Let me reach up to the top here.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
As a public service paid for by the National Foundation to Improve Things, we invite you now to spend another educational session with the idol of the nation's youngsters, Mr. Science. And as we look in on the laboratory today, we see that little Jimmy Schwab is just arriving to watch Mr. Science perform his latest fascinating experiment.
Well, hello there, Jimmy. You're right on time to watch me perform my latest fascinating experiment.
Gosh, all hemlock, Mr. Science. What fascinating experiment are you going to perform today?
Well, I'm sure you'll remember from last time we were discussing Archimedes' principle, and I promised to demonstrate it for you.
Holy cow, Mr. Science. I don't remember anything about that at all.
Well, that's all right, Jimmy.
The doctors have told my parents that I'll probably never be able to remember anything for as long as a week.
Well, Archimedes' principle only takes a moment to review. It states that a body immersed in water will only sink until it has displaced the amount of liquid that's equal to its own mass and density. Now do you understand, Jimmy?
Gee, willikers, I don't think so. And even if I do, I can't remember it for a week.
Well, I'm sure after you've observed today's experiment, it'll be fixed more firmly in your mind. Now, to prove Archimedes' principle, we first must fill this bucket with liquid.
Primanently, Mr. Science, that liquid looks exactly like the stuff we get in our bathtub at home when we turn on the faucet.
Well, that's just could be, Jimmy, because the bucket now contains ordinary household water.
Household water? Great day in the morning. Wait till I tell the kids at school I've seen some of that.
Now, let's try to keep yourself under control, son. I know this is a big thrill for you, but the best part is still to come. Now, I'm going to toss this rock into the bucket of water, and you watch carefully what happens.
Holy Moses, Mr. Science. It went clear to the bottom underneath all the liquid.
Exactly. And do you know why?
Golly, no. I never expected that to happen.
Well, just remember what we said about Archimedes' principle. You see, the rock was heavier than the water, and that's why it sank in an effort to displace its own mass and density.
Great suffering catfish. It's like the wonders of the universe were unfolding before my very eyes.
Well, that's very well put, Jimmy. Now, to complete our experiment, I'll place this wooden toothpick in the same bucket of water.
Boy, oh boy, look at that. It's not sinking in an effort to displace its own mass and density. So Archimedes was wrong, huh?
No, not at all, Jimmy. You see, wood is lighter than water.
Even a whole tree full of it?
Yes, in proportion to its size. That's why wood always floats. And it's our way of proving by a simple experiment here in the laboratory that Archimedes' principle is correct.
Jiminy, gee, that was a wonderful experiment, Mr. Science. Can I toss this box into the bucket and see if it floats
too? No, leave that alone. It contains the ingredients for next week's experiment. Don't touch it, boy.
Well, I only want to toss it in like this.
No, I'd rather you...
Mr. Science has been brought to you as a public service, paid for by the National Foundation to Improve Things. Today's broadcast was the last in our current series.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Yes, we do. Lots and lots of mail here.
Yes, we do.
And
so,
next week,
what's happening next week, Dale?
Funny you should mention. The last week on my current calendar shows.
I got it here.
I know. It's the blind leading the blind. Kind of the story of our lives here. No, it's a topic I take very seriously because some of our shows are provided for the blind. And in our tradition of the blind leading the blind, we've got Inner Sanctum, Sounds of Darkness and the Shadow, and probably a little interesting song for you, too. On Saturday, we're still going to try to see it through with Escape and Suspense yet again. So that's next weekend. Five more radio programs.
I can hardly wait to see all that on the radio.
Yeah, you can see it on radio, yes. And that's next weekend. Of course, again, on the 1st, May 1st, it's going to be an all-music show. World War II era music. So you know you're going to hear some Andrew Sisters. You know you're going to hear some fun stuff.
Yes.
Swing and interesting novelty songs, all kinds of fun.
Yep, and of course, that'll be Saturday. On Friday, we'll be heading off to the junkyard for a series of stories about junkyards.
Ah, that's in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
So, Dave, how did everything go last week with your 100th show?
It went pretty well. I'm very pleased and had a lot of fun with the people there, not only as a Facebook Live, which you can still find our video there. Go to TWRBM. You can find it right there. And then we turned around and did on the Vortex the night after that. So
I was in attendance for both of them. Let me tell you, gang, a lot of viewers.
Yep, and we had it was just so amazing. I never just realized how many people I've worked with. I know, Dale, you've mentioned early on how many talented people I've worked with. And I didn't really realize until we put this together and more videos kept coming in. We had 28 people send us videos to be part of this 100th show. That's just amazing, the talented people that I get to work with.
Yep. And maybe you will be around for number 200 in a few years. Just a few.
I don't know. We'll see.
Probably when we're doing Eerie House 1000 by then. But we'll see you next weekend, folks. Friday at 8:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And only him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Night.
Night!
That's pretty good. Pretty close timing. Could be a lot worse. Yeah.
It could be, and I'm sure we'll be worse in the future. So,
yes. Yep. I think I'll edit some more.
More what?
On, but I want to wrap things up soon so I can send you a list.
Yep, and I'll send you the latest update. I was looking for one more thing to add in there. There we go. We'll do this one, I think. Okay, we could do this one, I guess. Okay. So, yes. It's just hard to believe. I still am flabbergasted, Dale, that we're coming up on 500.
Amazing. Well, that's Erie Host overall. You were with me almost from the beginning, because I know when I was doing talk radio, I started kind of by myself at first, and then you were visiting on just the radio talk show quite frequently when we decided, you know, let's just start doing old-time radio shows. And I am so glad we did, because this has been a wild ride.
Yeah, it's been wild for sure, you know, especially when some of the people that we've had call in, and then, of course, really getting together and getting to know Tagar the way that we have. It's just been such a treat.
He joined the ranks, and we've got just the most wonderful listeners in the world.
We do. We do.
Absolutely love these guys and gals.
And all of you in the archives as well, because you would be hearing this if you weren't in the archives.
They're still listeners. They're just not live listeners, maybe. Maybe they're not available when we're live.
Well, and that's, you know, that's why we have it set as a podcast. So that at their own convenience, anytime, night or day, they could go ahead and get their fix.
That's right. Blog Talk may be a bit lame at times, but we're going to leverage what it does do well. And just listen to everything, like 2-3 times.
There you go. Wow. That's a lot of shows to listen to before that.
Oh, my God.
That'll keep you busy.
That would keep you damn busy. I am thinking if we did an estimate, if you wanted to listen to every one of our 500 shows by the time we get there, I wonder how long it would take. It'd probably take, even if you played it 24/7, back to back to back to back, it'd probably take a couple weeks at least.
I would think so.
No.
I would think so, yes.
Let's see, 500 shows times an hour and a half. Factor in a few more things, That's over 8,000 hours. Yeah, that's a lot of – that's actually over a month. It would take you over a month listening 24/7.
But it would be a month well spent. A month well spent.
Indeed. You would never be the same.
Yeah, they used us down in Guantanamo Bay for punishment.
That's right. It's rougher than waterboarding.
Yeah, please bring the water, is what they're saying.
Waterboard me, please. No more. I have to hear one more of Dale's lame puns. Nah, it's fun. Such great models in those great puns with the old hosts, be they radio, comic book, television, or even in the movies where they've had anthology hosted films. It's a great vehicle for storytelling, especially when you have an anthology series or movie.
Yeah. I just think anthologies are so. You know what's funny is, you know, the suspense did as well as it did, Dale, because generally anthology shows just don't rank quite as high as other shows. There's never been a television show anthology series that's ranked in the top 10. I think the highest Twilight Zone ever got was like a number 18, something to that effect. Because when it's time slot, and it was strong enough. The fact is, I think people are sometimes intellectually lazy. They want to be entertained by television. They don't want to think. And with with an anthology series, you have a new main characters every week, new stories, new storylines. It could be completely different from the storyline the last time, where any other show, you got main characters and things like that. And so that's why television, you know, that's why anthology shows, although very popular at times, have never ranked well. And you know, I know Escape had its problems, but only because CBS kept shifting it all over the stinking place.
I think anthology shows, Dave, give the creators a lot of room for creativity because, as you mentioned, you have different characters every week. So you could have a wide range of character types. You can cross over into genres. Maybe you do have a science fiction or a creepy type show like Twilight Zone, but they would cross over into Westerns, into science fiction, into comedy.
Yes, absolutely.
And that really gives you that flexibility of storytelling.
Even Steven Spielberg, I mean, his amazing stories were amazing. They were done very well. NBC spent a ton of money on those. But I don't think that ranked all that high. I'd have to go back and look and see.
I'm really shocked that it wasn't, because they were such high-quality shows in terms of writing, in terms of really most aspects of them.
And its first year, it also was followed by another anthology show, as you recall, the updated Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and they had colorized versions of Alfred Hitchcock's introductions going into different shows.
Yep.
And those were paired with each other. And for someone who loves anthology, as I do, and anthology shows, that was an amazing time to be able to catch both of those. One of my favorite ones there was one that Sid Caesar did, where he played an aging magician. And
yes,
he had this
that
magic
was one of the
stars,
early
maybe.
Ones. That was like the fourth it show was. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just absolutely amazing. And Sid Caesar, who we never got to see in his heyday from the show of shows, we got to see him in a different kind of role, in a very serious role. It had some light moments too, but a very serious role. And
they had great guests on that show. Milton Berle.
They did.
In fact, that whole episode with Milton Berle was kind of a tip of the hat to old vaudeville actors.
Without
being a spoiler, it had a very heartwarming ending. My favorite, though, Dave. My favorite Spielberg's amazing story was Mummy
Which
Daddy.
Which was that? Mummy Daddy.
Yeah. It was a comedic story.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one was my favorite. There's so many good ones. Even starting off with that first one about the grandfather and grandson and the train coming.
Yes, that was kind of scary, that one.
It was. It was, very much so. I'm not even sure how well they ranked, but I know that they were only on for two seasons because Steven Spielberg wouldn't do it unless he got a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
And everybody got angry because they basically were taking all the Cosby profits and plumping it into the amazing stories, personally, I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
I tell you, it wasn't my favorite, but one that was really cool to see was the one amazing story that was done, basically it's a cartoon, and the only voices you heard in there was Stan Freberg. That was cool.
Oh, I'll have to remember that one.
I think it was through the dog's eyes that we were viewing the show through the dog's eyes, this cartoon dog and the family and all about things like that. So, just because of his ties to radio and his ties to comedy, I get a kick out of it. It's not my favorite, but I get a kick out of it.
I have a Roku channel that has a link to Amazing Stories. I'm going to have to look that one up. I probably have seen that exactly once in my life. I want to see that again now. You've whet my appetite.
Well, bring a towel with you.
Yes. That's as Gale slimes the place. That's right. But fun shows tonight. And God, we'll do an updated count maybe of shows when we hit 500 to see how many we've shared so far.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. We'll do that. And I'm just, matter of fact, I'm just toying with those right now and throwing in quite a few shows from the weekend. So
six, well, no, not two, quite six, but a lot of
three,
clips.
Four, five, and yeah, 5 minute mystery. I would say that'd be more of a clip than a whole show, but
yeah.
But we got five of those in, and we got a song yesterday, and so we got four clips and five shows over the weekend. It doesn't take long for things to add up when that's going on.
Yep, we're putting in our time. Let's see, per hour we're making. Oh God.
We can put in our time so that we can take yours up.
That's right. That's, and I think that's fair.
Oh, my. Well, as we get some things wrapped up and on to some other things, I think perhaps it may just be time to roll over into the one and only Mr. James Durante.
I got mail. Yay! I got mail. Yay!
Good night. Okay.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and it could think it do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.